In this podcast, I cover four inventions. Previously, a few weeks ago, I did another podcast on four inventions. And in general, I think most people come up with natty, nifty ideas. And most people have them for a while. Few people develop them. Podcasting is just a very immediate method to actually broadcast them. And on average, very many inventions are a long, hard yard before they could ever make any money. And there's this sort of paranoid world of patenting them and keeping them secret. In general, if you come up with inventions all the time, it's really hard to keep on top of the most important one and manage them. So this is Pitical Explains, where I discuss things scientific. The topic of these, I think about four inventions, is the life-saving inventions. Inventions where you have someone in danger, and it's visiting these situations and seeing what would be nice to have. So there's no sort of commercial driver. There's sort of really an altruistic view of how we could improve situations. So the various situations, there's sort of three seed situations, and I'll go through them first. Then it makes understanding the actual invention of a bit easier to go. So the first and most prominent one was on the weekend. My daughter had a soccer collision, and we only discovered afterwards had suffered concussion. Then I went on the internet and found out how you diagnose concussion, and my son, who's an umpire in a different code, said, oh, look, our code has a pretty strict way of analysing concussion, and that wasn't existing in the soccer code. And it's quite a frightening thing to have your child lose so many hours of memory wiped out, and it's pretty hard to detect instantly because they're so nice and give you fairly vanilla answers all the time anyway to actually pick that up. So that's one aspect. Well, today, friends of mine were going along a gentle bushwalk. There happened to be a school cross-country run along that bushwalk or this area. There was a girl who was having an asthma attack. They stopped, phoned the ambulance, and did all the various alerts, and the ambulance came up to the entrance of the bushwalk they had difficulty getting the exact location, but also when they came up to the barrier fence, it was locked. There was no way they could get through it. And there's now really on any suburban bush interface where they don't want people to drive, there's a locked fence. In fact, most places over the past 10 years, this has occurred, so that you can no longer go bush or drive bush. So this is fairly well policed, so you have to really go out into a national park or something like that to go forward. The final area is anaphylactics training. So this is where you have an allergic reaction. Your throat swells up, your eyes swell up. It's typically due to bee stings or food like peanut butter or peanuts, you can be in charge of a student. And within a school, you've got a pen, which after doing so much analysis, you give more often than not. It's if it's unnecessary, it's not going to do any harm. This is an adrenaline shot, subcutaneous adrenaline shot, thing that you place over the a student, and you hit the trigger release and it fires a needle into the student, short distance into the student, and fires some adrenaline through clothing or such stuff. So we have a shock, an ambulance who can't get to a place, and the EpiPen it's called. So this is a pen-shaped shot of adrenaline that if students are anaphylactic, they have to carry one with them, and if you ever go out anywhere with students, you carry one with you. There's one at the school, bear in mind the conditions can be quite difficult. It can be raining night and various things when any of these things can happen. So they're the situations. Let's go up and reel through the different inventions. One of the things that became very apparent is that the lack of specialist knowledge on how to deal with concussion or assess concussion and then gather data in general. So my overall idea is have a phone number which you phone up, and an automated computer basically asks the person questions, and they're recorded, and artificial intelligence, you've got your face, Mark Zuckerberg, lauding the value of artificial intelligence, and already this is used to enhance Google's YouTube in translation, analyzes the person's response and asks a series of questions, depending on the answers, branches out, and then gathers general data about what sport, time, place, location, and stuff like that, and then gives a feedback with general advice. It goes into the medical system, and here in Australia you'd have a nurse or someone be notified and automatically come up. Now the advantage of this is that it covers some benign ignorance that we had for this situation and only realised afterwards, and the actual methodology of checking for concussion. So concussion is a bump to the head and an injury to the sort of a temporary injury to the brain. In this case, it wiped out some memory. But there's a series of things that you can do. And so this is not the be and all, but it can actually act as some sort of gate or tide or alert people what to do. But it's also got the other advantages that it collects data real-time of positions and age and all various other aspects to do with injury. So it's in terms of getting on top of brain injury as it happens, before it happens, and alert things. And if you have identified people, you can actually build up a record, say, of a team which seems to have more head injuries than normal, or limit people's propensity for head injuries. So let's cover the head injury aspect. We now move on to today's incident of a student on a track. And one of the things that would be good is that if a mobile phone has GPS, you can have a button that sends your GPS location to the emergency people automatically. Already, mobile phones can be tracked due to their proximity between towers, but GPS would exactly locate it coming along. So I can imagine other methodologies which would allow that to happen. One of the things that I'm sort of thinking is that you can have the light function on a mobile phone, and the light can be modulated at a frequency, and if you have frequency modulate a light, you can make it extremely easy for cameras to pick up. So if you put a variable frequency out, you can phase lock loop and identify where that pitch thing is. So in a complicated area where it's difficult to see, you can actually pick up minute traces of light, say in helicopters and things like that coming in. So having a mobile phone which can actually put out when I say frequency, modulate the actual turning it on and off at a particularly high frequency burst can conserve the battery but give you a way of locating it. So going back in, the mobile phone gives you the location, and you have other locating effects. So what I do believe is all the gates we have around here in Australia into the national parks, and limiting things where people have to actually get in, have an electronic, basically, gate release override, which just allows emergency vehicle, a fire truck, to just simply unlock a padlock or unlock the gate and have that engineered in. So I do think that's something that in future we can design to put in. That's covered that area. Now we come to the thing of making the EpiPens a little bit more user friendly, and this comes up from sitting through an EpiPen story. I suppose more interest is seeing how this set of inventions came across. So eventually, going through EpiPen training, I came up with about 6 easy to do innovations, and off the top of my head I can only remember about 3, so this is perhaps good. One is making the EpiPen out of material that glows in the dark. So this means that if you are in adverse conditions where it is in the dark, or you're trying to find an EpiPen which has fallen down or something like that, it can actually glow in the dark and be a bit easier to see. The other thing is that the information of the EpiPen and location is normally sent by mobile phone as you inform ambulances. So it's pretty unusual that you would administer an EpiPen without phoning up an ambulance. And this is to have some sort of RF identifier of your EpiPen, which would essentially log who's got an EpiPen when and where, and give validation that you've got a complete EpiPen set. There's some sort of digital timer, which I think would also be easy to include in an EpiPen. So I think there's some sort of timer process to go in and use. So that covers it. There's sort of some basic quality control, which goes into a medical kit. So I think this particular medical kit that the school had at this stage didn't have an asthma space and various things. So although people could tick off that they've got a medical kit, whether that medical kit meets the overall requirements or the identifiability necessary. So that's obviously a set of quick innovations, and look, it would be ideal if people in Australia listened to it and it was adopted. That in general will not happen. So I say with the EpiPen one, I sort of had a moral obligation, I felt, to put those innovations forward in a tactful way, and it got put forward to training, put forward to the marketing consultant, and that was the end of it. The marketing consultant is very much about they're paid for the company to push the product forward, so there was no probability of information or ideas travelling the other way, and indeed that's the way it should be. Ideally, the mode should be a published study funded by a university, peer-reviewed, and put in seriously. It's just that the overall, I suppose, antenna to pick up ideas is not there. In this case, by the fact that I'm just doing so many podcasts a day to increase my ability to speak and put thoughts together on the fly, which I hope this is slightly better, let's find a podcast medium, and given that it's for the betterment of the human race, and I'll perhaps save a human life somewhere along the line, whether it be Australia or overseas, it really doesn't matter. So I hope that someone listening knows someone, and we can implement one of these things. So let's go through it again. This is a telephone number that you can phone up and have artificial intelligence to listen to responses and log a response. So you could actually get people at the start of the year to do a baseline, and then you can to increase the accuracy of it. For emergency contact, have the ability of the mobile phone to actually broadcast to the receiver your exact GPS location, and also have an electronic opening of gates. For EpiPens, having a glow-in-the-dark feature, a RFID, so it can tap onto an Android phone, similar to the way that we in Australia can tap our transport card and find out how much money's on it during overall that feature, and an electronic timing feature with the EpiPens. All of these, I hope, obviously won't save any lives and make any difference if no one does anything. It may have an effect, at least someone looking at it and coming up with a better idea, which is ultimately what we're after. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains. In the meantime, keep on doing